We are going to continue the hour by talking about an event that's coming up on Saturday, December 2nd. Flyleaf Books is hosting a talk that day by historian Margaret Burnham about her book, By Hands Now Known, Jim Crow's Legal Executioners. 2 p.m., co-hosted by a bunch of organizations, Carolina Public Humanities, Justice United, the Orange County Community Remembrance Coalition, and the NAACP. And again, it's at Flyleaf Books, Saturday the 2nd at 2 p.m. You can get more info and register for the event at their website, which is flyleafbooks.com. James Williams is one of the organizers of the event. He joins us here now in the studio to talk about it. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Aaron. I'm doing well, and I hope you are.
I am. So tell us, first of all, before we get into the event, the book is a fascinating book about a topic that needs more light on it. So tell us about the book and what it entails.
Well, the book is, I think, a groundbreaking work by law professor Margaret Burnham of Northeastern University Law School. And basically, what it does is shine light on and sort of a comprehensive study of racial violence during the Jim Crow era, in terms of the scale and scope and its impact on so many people's lives and so many communities, particularly in the South. Mm. You know, as I said, how widespread, how, you know, quotidian almost it was, you know, throughout. And she uncovers a number of cases that most of us really know nothing or knew nothing about, unless you lived in one of those communities where, you know, it actually occurred. Mm-hmm. And so she's done a comprehensive work that lays out the scale, but also looks at, you know, some potential or recommended responses today to that history of violence.
What did you learn from reading the book? Because we've talked before, you and I, about this issue, and I think of you as being kind of an expert on it, so I know I would probably learn more than you would, but what did you get from this book?
Well, you know, so we know, or, you know, a lot of us are aware of certain accounts of mm-hmm. racial violence, particularly those that are classified as lynchings. Mm-hmm. What she focuses on here are, you know, the thousands of, you know, the multiple hundreds and into the thousands of acts of racial violence, including homicides, mm-hmm. that didn't fit the criteria or definition of a lynching, and quite often did not get the media coverage that lynchings got. And so it kind of operated under the radar screen, more or less. And so what she has done, she and others working with her at her clinic, is sort of excavated that history and made it available. For instance, we, unless you've been living under a rock, you know about the horrible police killing of George Floyd. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is known pretty much throughout the state, throughout the country, even internationally. However, George Floyd wasn't just killed within the past several years. George Floyd was murdered by police in St. Augustine, Florida, 75 years ago, in a police killing of a black man for virtually no reason whatsoever. And so we learn about stories like that from reading this book. We learn about how a black woman in a small town in, I believe, somewhere in Alabama, walked into a store, hardware store, to purchase an item, and either something in the way she looked or in her tone of voice irritated the storekeeper, a young white man, who followed her out of the store and beat her to death on the sidewalk. no accountability whatsoever. So it is these stories, and as I said, and this whole, so we talked today about authoritarianism, and you know, so what we have forgotten about is that we, especially in the South, for decades under Jim Crow, lived under that sort of regime, and there are still consequences to that. And so this book sort of opened up my eyes to the scope and scale of that level of violence, and here again, how it impacted not just the individual who lost their lives, their families, their communities, and how people were able to go about their lives. Another thing, though, that I like about this book is that she also tells stories of how people, to the extent they could, resisted and mobilized and tried to respond to that violence, even under the most trying and difficult of circumstances.
What's an example of that?
Well, I mean, an example, I think, and there's a chapter in this book on the killing of Booker T. Spicely in Durham, North Carolina, July 8th of 1944. And his family, his uncle, his aunt, they took action. They contacted the NAACP. They came to Durham. They didn't live in Durham. They didn't live in North Carolina. He was stationed here at Camp Butner. He was in the military. He was in uniform. He was shot and killed by a white bus driver because he questioned, you know, having to move to the back of the bus pursuant to so-called Jim Crow laws. When he was shot and killed, his family didn't take it laying down. They came to Durham. They spoke with and met with NAACP leaders. They helped hire a private attorney to private prosecute the case. Unfortunately, the killer was acquitted after 20 minutes of deliberation by an all-white jury, but they didn't stop there. They filed a civil lawsuit. The NAACP in Durham was rejuvenated in response to this killing. They renamed themselves the Booker T. Spicely branch of the NAACP. Various churches responded. So there was a lot of mobilization and activation based upon. And I'm not saying that was the universal response, but there were similar responses in some places in response to these killings.
Well, also worth noting, and I actually don't know like what the law was in North Carolina at the time, but you know, think about the NAACP as kind of a mainstream organization today. In the mid-20th century, it was banned in a number of states.
Right.
Like that level of organization and activity was taking place at a time when killing people was not punished, but organizing against it was.
Right. Yeah. That is true. And some people say it was even, to some extent, unique that in Durham, there was even a charge brought, and there was a trial, because quite often in a number of these, and I don't think there would have been a trial had not been there not been that public reaction and outcry. In a number of these cases, they just sweep it under the rug and move on as if nothing had happened, or going to the extreme and making the killers almost a hero.
Speaking with James Williams again, we're talking about the book by Hands Now Known, Jim Crow's Legal Executioners, by Margaret Burnham, who is a Northeastern University law professor, coming down to Chapel Hill to speak on Saturday, December 2nd at Flyleaf Books, 2 p.m., co-hosted by a bunch of different organizations. Flyleafbooks.com is the website to get more information about the reading and register for it. What should people know about the reading?
Well, it will start at 2 o'clock. She will be on hand prior to the reading to autograph copies of the book. I encourage people to consider purchasing the book. You don't have to purchase the book to attend, but if you do purchase the book from Flyleaf, you'll get a 20% discount. In addition, that will reserve up to two seats. You don't have to buy the books to attend, but if you want to guarantee a seat, because people who have purchased books will get first priority for seating. She'll discuss the book. There will be probably an opportunity for some short Q&A. You know, Erin, if I might also mention, I'm almost embarrassed to say that until last year, I had no knowledge of who Professor Margaret Burnham was.
Well, you're a year ahead of me then. So,
yeah, but she's just an amazing, it's almost a story in and of itself, you know, what she has accomplished. And then at this mature age of her life, to come up, to be able to do this groundbreaking work. I mean, when I say, I mean, she represented Angela Davis way back in the day when Angela was accused of murder throughout her proceedings. She was the first black female, actually, I think maybe the first black judge in the city of Boston.
Wow.
And then this groundbreaking work that she's done pursuing this project at Northeastern's Law School, in addition to this much acclaimed book, I think is just, you know, I can't, you know, I've had the pleasure of meeting her, and I look forward to seeing her again and introducing her at this discussion. I'll also mention that the day before, December 1, she will be at the unveiling and dedication ceremony for the state historical marker in honor of Booker T. Spicely. That unveiling will be at the intersection of West Broad, of Broad Street and I'm forgetting the name
the
of
the main
that.
Street over there.
No,
or?
West Club Boulevard
West
in
Club.
Durham,
gotcha. Yeah,
right
yep.
across from School of Science and
yep,
Math.
Yep.
She'll be the keynote speaker for that event, and then the next day she'll be coming to Chapel Hill to Flyleaf.
And again, that talk is going to be Saturday, December 2nd at 2 p.m. Flyleafbooks.com for more information on it. And again, buy the book in advance, 20% discount through Flyleaf. You get guaranteed spots at that talk. I got to leave it there, but James Williams, thank you so much for being with us.
All right. Thank you, Aaron.